Two Lord's Days ago, you heard Skip Dusenberry open up God's Word from the six verses that precede the five verses that precede the six that we're going to be looking at this morning. And in that message, he reminded us of the compelling love of God, that compelling love of God that was demonstrated through the death of his son, Jesus of Nazareth, and how that especially affects and impacts those who, by the grace of God, have denied themselves, taken up their cross, and are following him. This is a passage that I've delighted in having opportunity to open. Years ago, I was preaching from the verses that we're looking at this morning in Syracuse, New York, and the title of the message was "The Eye of the Spirit." I think this passage does indeed speak to that. But this morning, as we consider 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 16 through 21, you notice the title of the sermon is "Our New Identity." Our new identity. I want us to pay attention, careful attention, as I read for us these verses at the end of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 16 through 21. Here again, the word of our God. "Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we knew Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The grass withers, and the flower fades. The word of our God stands forever. Amen. Did you notice something radical happens to us if we profess to have embraced the gospel of Jesus Christ? Something radical has happened to us. That is, to those who live no longer for ourselves, but we live for him who died for us and rose again from the dead. And the first thing that is radically different about those of us who claim to be Christians is that we view everyone differently. We view everyone differently. Do you notice the Apostle Paul says, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. How many of us remember what it was like when we viewed everyone with the eyes of the flesh, and when we thought everyone was viewing us with the eyes of the flesh? How easy it was for us to become despairing. I don't have the same kind of clothing as everyone else. At least I don't have the clothing that the popular people have. I don't have the financial means that others have. I don't have the academic acumen that others have. I don't have. It's all about what do I have according to the eyes of the flesh. Why do we do the things that we do? Why are we told the things that we're told as we're growing up? How much of it is all about what you will be able to do if you only give yourself to doing it? And when we buy the world's mantra, it's so easy to become depressed, dejected, and downright hurt. If they would only pay attention to me the way I want to be paid attention to. And on and on and on I could go, and you could add to that list of the numbers of the ways that you have yourself been hurt when you've fallen into viewing things with fleshly eyes. What a radical difference it is for those of us who, by the grace of God, have denied ourselves, are taking up our crosses, and are following Jesus. So that we begin to look at ourselves and to look at others with new eyes. Eyes that are concerned not so much about what's on the outside of people, but eyes that begin to be concerned about what's on the inside of people. And it starts with having eyes that are concerned about what's on the inside of me. Christ in me, the hope of glory. And as we begin to see Christ in us as the hope of glory, we might therefore become a kind of people that Peter speaks about in his letter. People begin to ask us questions, why are you so hopeful? Because we begin to see ourselves inside. And that's what makes us the people that we are. We once viewed Jesus according to the flesh. He did indeed come and tabernacle among us. And how many of us, before we were born again by the Spirit of God, looked upon Jesus as the crowds looked upon Jesus when he was here on this earth? Look at him. He can feed us. Look at him. He can heal us. There's our messianic hope. There's that son of David. There's that one who's going to be the king, who's going to do what? He's going to destroy Rome. By the might and the power that he has, he's going to feed us, he's going to heal us. And how many people look at Jesus for the fact that he heals and for the fact that he feeds? And we look at him and we say, that's the Messiah I want. But Jesus is the one who said, it's expedient for me to leave you. It's expedient for me to get out of your eyesight. It's expedient for me to no longer be seen by you according to the flesh. Why? Because if I go to be with my Father, he and I are going to send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is going to come and he's going to apply the salvation that I have secured for all my people whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. He's going to come and he's going to take hearts of stone out of people and give them hearts of flesh so that they can hear the gospel, so that you here who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ have experienced that marvelous work of the grace of God that has regenerated you. So that you no longer look at yourself through the eyes of the flesh. You no longer look at the world through the eyes of the flesh. But you now begin to look at yourself and at others through the eyes of the Spirit. Because we no longer know him, Jesus, according to the flesh. And that means a significant new view of ourselves. A very radical new view of ourselves. An identity changer, if you please. And it's in that 17th verse. That 17th verse of this fifth chapter that I often use if I'm going to preach a New Year's Day message. In fact, I did that here. The first Lord's Day of the year. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a kainos. He is a kainos creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become kainos. And if you remember, there are those two Greek words that are translated new, and this is that one that speaks about a kind of difference. A kind of difference. Not a difference with respect to time, but a difference with respect to kind. What was I? What am I? That's radical. Do we appreciate the radicalness of what has happened to us in our conversion to Christ through the new birth that we had? We no longer are primarily in love with ourselves. Life does not any longer revolve around ourselves. It's not all about that fleshly trinity, me, myself, and I. That's not what I am about any longer. But I'm about Christ Jesus, who loved me and now resides within me through the Holy Spirit. All the old has passed away. All the new has come. I have died to self. You who are in Christ Jesus have died to self. You embraced Jesus Christ. Why? Because you came to appreciate how sinful all those things you and I thought we did, which were good, apart from Christ in God's eyes, were what? Filthy rags. Filthy rags. Yes, those times apart from Christ that we obeyed our parents thinking that, oh good, we're being good, we'll get to heaven. Those times we went to church because our parents said, go to church. Oh, good, I'll get to heaven. Those times we as parents brought our children to, oh, good, I'll get to go to heaven. We view ourselves differently. We begin to understand that everything does not depend on us. Now all things are from God. All things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ Jesus. Our lives are now being lived in the grace and the mercy and the love of God the Father, who sent his only begotten Son, who would be that unblemished Lamb of God to be slain for the sins of the world, so that we would be reconciled to God. The enmity that entered into the human race between God and his creation, the image bearers that he made because of the eating of the forbidden fruit, the enmity, the wrath, the hatred that we deserve from God who is love, the hatred that he must manifest toward all who are dead in their trespasses and sin because of their sinfulness against a holy God. He reconciled us to himself. While we were yet his enemies, he sent his Son to bear the wrath that you and I deserved from him. He reconciled us to himself. We did not reconcile ourselves to him. The fact that we repented and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ is not the basis of our salvation. That repentance and faith is a gift of God. And that's what enabled us to be viewed by God through his eyes of love. And now, are you ready for the third radical difference, that impacts our true identity. Are you ready? Verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors. We are ambassadors for Christ. Just let that wash over you. You know what an ambassador is? Of course you do. An ambassador is someone who is appointed by a governor, by a president, by a senate, by people in authority in our government to do what? To speak on behalf of our government to the nations of the world or to the citizens of these United States. And an ambassador doesn't go and write his or her own speeches. An ambassador goes with the speech that was written for them by the one who called them to be an ambassador. Do you begin to grasp what that means about how we communicate with other people in our daily lives? Do you understand how that impacts us when we're simply talking to people Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday? We're talking to people, we're using our mouths in this world as, what does it say? Ambassadors for Christ. And so we begin to understand why Jesus, as he leaves this world, says, as you're going, make disciples of the nations. He speaks to the church, which is his ambassador to the world, and says, disciple the nations. And what is it that we as ambassadors are to proclaim to the nations? Well, he tells us, doesn't he? As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. As ambassadors of Jesus Christ, it's our calling from God in our new identity as a Christian to be gospelers, to be good news spreaders, to be people who live the gospel in our own lives, and who are people ready to speak the gospel to those around us who are in need. Yes, indeed, we pray that God would raise up elders, men who desire the office of elder, so that some of them might be set apart to proclaim the word, to preach to the saints, to build the saints up in that like precious faith, so that we, the people of God, may be ministers of the Lord Jesus Christ wherever we go. We view our general calling differently. And how is this possible? He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. You see, with the eyes of the Spirit, with the eyes of the Spirit, we now look at those who profess faith in Jesus Christ as the bearers of the righteousness of God. We look at each other as righteous in God. We look at each other as righteous in God. And so when we see a brother or a sister sin, and because we see a brother or sister sin, what do? We go to that brother or that sister and we speak to them about that sin that we see in their lives. Because we know that's not the life they intend to live. Because God is at work within them both to will and to do according to His good pleasure, that they what? That they die to sin daily and live and work out that salvation they have in Christ Jesus. Because they have a different eye set. They view others differently, they view themselves differently, and they begin to understand. We begin to understand. That we have a radical calling because Jesus Christ is our righteousness. And it's in that righteousness that we come to the table of the Lord. We cannot come to the table of the Lord apart from Christ and His righteousness.